For the last five programs, Chuck Swindoll has invited us to hear a message originally delivered to the congregation where he serves as senior pastor. It's an intensely personal look at how Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas, follows the biblical model for life in the local church family. Today on Insight for Living, we'll hear the final portion of this six-day mini-series called Loving One Another. We're discovering that the wisdom found in Romans 12 can be readily applied to your church family as well. Chuck titled this final message, Looking Deeper into Our Church.
Paul is writing to the Romans, and Paul does not represent it in a denomination. There were no denominations when Paul is writing. He's writing as a believer in Christ to those in the church in Rome about what? About how to get along with one another. You see, when you bring the world into the church, you don't get along. You split the church. And that explains why so many churches are splintered and fractured, filled with argument and disharmony, and ultimately split. And one group goes here, angry at the other group that stayed there, and it just goes on and on in many denominations. Fighting for this and fighting for that. It's all the world system's way of thinking, but when you think biblically, you don't do that. You learn how to get along with each other. That's just valuable. In fact, you make room for those who are different than you are. So Paul is helping us love one another, which is really the emphasis, and we see it in verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love one another. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Look at verse 14, for example. There are those who will persecute us. Trust me, it'll only get worse. That's not negative, that's truth. Okay, what do? We bless those who persecute us. We don't curse them. We pray for God to deal with them. How great is that? See, a church is designed to reshape your life. Doesn't mean you have a place to sit on Sunday. It means you get your thinking challenged. And so it says we're to be happy with those who are happy. The world doesn't think like that. When you're happy and rejoicing, they're envious of you. How come you got promoted and I didn't? It's the way the world, but in God's family, I celebrate with those celebrating. And what about those who weep? Oh, I'm touched by those who are in grief. In the world system, you hear, suck it up. You know, grow up. Life's tough. Cry me a river. We've all got it tough. No. I need someone who will weep with me. Because it's lonely to weep alone. And I learn when I'm around the spiritual truth taught in a church that I weep with those who weep. I love the next line, live in harmony with each other. Isn't that a great way to put it? Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Where else can an 18 or 19-year-old young person feel comfortable around those of us who are in their 70s and 80s, the church? The church? Where can a 40-year-old divorcee who doesn't know a soul come in and find a heart that's understanding so that she can have a place, the church, nowhere else? Listen to me. Nowhere else. We enjoy the company of ordinary people. There's no status. You don't have to have a certain degree to rank. You're not especially honored because you've earned that degree or because you've had that experience. We have room for just ordinary people. And I like the way it says, and don't think you know it all. Isn't that helpful? Only in the church could you say something like that. You say something to the normal group that you're meeting with, several will leave because they feel insulted. We hear that and we think, that's the way it ought to be. I remember a church I served in another state. We opened our arms to those who were of another generation, and oh my, what an experience that was. Oh, it was something else. I mean, they came in, many of them had never been in a church in their lives. It was great. They didn't understand it. One of them called the pulpit a box. He wanted to know if I stood behind this box all the time as he listened to me preach. He wondered why I ever took a day off. He says, I like what you say. How come you're not here every day saying it? I said, well, I need a little time off. Well, why? He says, I would like to hear you every day. He had never been around how a church works. You know what? He wanted to be in a different environment than he was used to. He was living on booze and Fritos. He knew there had to be a better way. You know what? We made room for them, changed the whole profile of our church. We need to do that here. We need to make room for those who are younger so that they feel more and more a part of it. It's great. They would love it, but they're kind of afraid of us. You know how we look. That kid doesn't even know how to dress when he comes to church. You have to dress a certain way. You have to look a certain way. Cynthia and I didn't when we went to that church we had never been to before. Nobody checked out what we were wearing. They had room for us. We must provide room for those who have been fighting back all their lives, paying back evil for evil with more evil. They're tired of that lifestyle. In fact, if we were to wrap it all up in one statement, it would be in verse 18. Look at it. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Whatever else you may say about that statement, it is a command. It isn't a nice idea. It isn't a, well, when you have a chance, you might try this. It's an imperative. It says, do that. So, in light of that, my charge to you is that you and I, together, by the grace of God, learn how to do all we can to live in peace with one another. Now, before you get your hopes up, you'll never be able to do that out in the world. There are those who just keep hoping for peace. They just keep striving for peace. And they keep negotiating for peace. They're never going to be peace. Neighbors will never get along. And I don't mean to be dour here or negative, but the fact is, if you don't have Christ, you don't have the power to get along. All you have is your own will, and your neighbor has his or her will, and they're going to want their way, and you're going to want your way. But when you're in Christ, you want his way. And when all of us want Christ's way, we can get along. So I think this is Paul's way of saying, couldn't we get along? Wouldn't it be great if we could love one another? Admittedly, as I said last time, there are many gifts in the body. There are many temperaments, so many different temperaments. There are different backgrounds represented here. You are from one kind of growing up, training. Others of you from another kind of home or from another type of training. I'm from my type of training growing up. We're all different in our background training, and we're all, here we are under one roof serving one Lord in this church. How can we do it without being at each other's throats regularly? How can we do it without arguments breaking out? I served a church years ago in another state in this country, and I heard about a neighboring church that had been a fighting church for the longest time. You just wouldn't believe how tough it got. It got to where they had to have police there, not to protect the people from the world, but to protect the people from one another. And there were those that stood near the piano. It was a guy in a police uniform, and there were those that stood near the pulpit. The pastor needed to be protected from. I mean, it was unbelievable. And little by little, the church just emptied. It just emptied. And then the Lord called to that church, get this, a peace-loving, gracious man of God who had nothing to prove, and he only had the Bible to preach. So he decided, I will preach the Bible. By that time, you had to get there early to get a back seat. And so people got there early, and they all were in the back. So this is a true story. He picked up the pulpit. He dragged it down the middle aisle, and he took it all the way to the back, and he delivered his message. He said, if you won't come to me, I'll come to you. So get this. Little by little, month by month, he kept moving the pulpit back further and further as more and more people came, more and more gathered, and before long they were even sitting in the choir loft, though they didn't even have a choir, but there wasn't room for them any longer because there was harmony, there was peace. That's what that's saying. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. And by the way, they didn't need the police any longer. There weren't arguments and fights anymore. God brought in harmony and a joy in their relationship that was beautiful to behold. I believe that can happen. I want that for Stonebriar Church as much as anything. Teaching the truth with the result that we love one another. Look at verse 19. Dear friends, don't take revenge. How many of you still have a blacklist? What are you doing with a blacklist? Why are there people you won't talk to? It's not Christian. Jesus didn't have a blacklist. To the very end, he loved them. To the very last breath, he prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See the difference? In fact, he says, if you want someone to take revenge, leave it to God. Leave it to me. I will take revenge. I will put them back, says I will pay them back, says the Lord. I heard a radio preacher years ago. He was really fired up. Apparently some folks had written him some tough things. And he says, well, I'll tell you what, folks. I'm not going to answer you back. But today in my prayer life, I prayed, Lord, sick 'em. Two words. Sick 'em. Whoa. You know what? It's a whole different way of living our lives. A whole different way of conducting ourselves. If those who are younger long for a place to worship, we love having them around us. That's what makes a home a home. That's why we're crazy about grandkids and great-grandkids. Cutest little things just pick their nose and make messes and walk all over us. And we love them because they're just little and they don't know their way. But when you're older and you're little and don't know your way, we judge them. Let's stop doing that. Let's just stop doing that. Let's just make room for those who are lonely and looking for a place. Folks, listen to me. It's going to get really tough in the days ahead. They hate us out there. And I'm not trying to be a hate monger. They stand on our street corner and hate us because we don't say things or do things like they want us to do them. They attack Christians. Some countries, they kill them. Let me tell you, we need each other. I really need you. We need each other. And when we do what is right, it says we heap coals of fire, coals of shame on their heads. So we don't let evil conquer us. We instead conquer evil by doing good. You say, well, that sounds weird. It's supposed to sound weird. It's Jesus weird. It's what he did. When the Pharisees hated him, he never hated them back. They couldn't get over it. And as his love reached out to them, it was something to behold. And when he got to the very end, it says he loved his own to the end. Isn't that great? I would love for Stonebriar Community Church to be a model of a different place. I'd like for the word to get out that the lost are welcome, that those who have made a mess of their lives have a place here, that you don't have to clean up to come in, that you don't have to straighten up to love Jesus. Just be who you are, ordinary people. I'd love it that when younger or next to older, there's a mentor nearby and there's harmony going on. And the relationship is such that before you know it, they look like they really do care for each other. Donald Barnhouse put it like this: we're not to consider what others deserve to suffer, but what we are required to do. As to the use that others will make of our kindness, that is of no concern of ours. We have only to obey God and leave all events to him. To quote the prophet, we're to do what's right, we're to love what's kind, and we're to walk humbly before our God. That's it. That's it. And when we do, you know what? People stare at us in amazement. Because they're used to people who don't do what's right and aren't kind. I heard just in the news as I was driving here today, and the guy said out in front of his house was a fist fight between two neighbors fighting over an argument that they were having, and the storm was blowing in. As the storm is blowing in, these people are fighting. Really? There's a better way. And I urge all of us to be so different from that, so welcoming and willing to accept others as they are, that we can't wait to help them grow and learn. Let me tell you something. If it hadn't been for the mentors in my life, you'd have never heard of me. I'd have never done what I'm doing, ever. Ever. But because a few individuals, you would not know one of them, or most of them you'd never heard of, put their arms around me and loved me and helped me stand on my own and fall in love with God and his word and showed me how I could be spiritually self-sustaining without being wrapped by a denomination or accepted by a little group. Now I find myself ministering in circles. It's amazing. Our little radio broadcast gets out there, and you know what? I just love the stories I hear. I'm going to close with one of them. There were a group of nuns. It's a true story. And they were listening silently or quietly alone to my broadcast in their little cells. Had the little transistor turned way down. So one of them had to go to the bathroom. And so she got up and was walking down a little stone hallway. And she heard the broadcast from this other cell. Or room, I shouldn't call it a cell. From this other room. I'm sorry, that was a bad choice. And then she walked a little further in another room. She heard the broadcast. So when they had lunch together, she said, Sister Bernadine, she said, Do you listen to Charles Swindoll? And she goes, ah. I do. And another lady next to her said, well, I do too. And there were finally about six of them that said, we all do. We should probably confess this. True story. Isn't this true? It's a true story. And they got some time, however you do it, you know, with the priest, and they went to see, it was the head priest, and he had them come in, and they said, Father, we have to confess that we've been doing something for quite some time, and we have sinned. And he said, well, what is it? They said, well, we listen to a radio preacher. And he says, oh, you listen to Swindoll too? And they said, yes. He said, so do I. Don't think anything of it. You know what? I don't frequent the Roman Catholic Church, and they don't come here usually. We invite them. They're welcome to come. But isn't that interesting? They tune in. Why? Because of the truth. They want the truth. And they can't stay away from where it is so different. I guess that's why. I love it. You know, we're going to all be going up to heaven, and you're going to look at somebody, and you're going to say, I didn't know that you were a follower of Jesus. And they're going to look at you and say, I didn't know that either. And we're both on our way. Can't we get along on earth? Can't we just get along? I know we can. I'm going to do everything I can to help us get along. Now, if you've never come to Jesus, this is the time. Now, listen carefully. God's one and only Son loves you, and He, rather than judging you for all the wrong you've done, He died for your sins. He paid the complete penalty to wash away your sins with His blood. In order to have a relationship with His Father, all you got to do is trust Him. That's all I've done. That's all you need to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll become a part of the family. How great is that? Thank you, dear Father, for making it painfully simple for all of us. Help us not to be afraid to be different. In a world that's samey-same and so lonely, samey-same and so miserable. Help us to walk with you in such a way that when people meet with us, they feel like they've met with Jesus. I pray in His name, who loved us with an everlasting love. Everybody said, amen. Amen. All right.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll. His prayer represents the conclusion of the two-part miniseries called Loving One Another. And you can purchase the CDs or find downloadable audio files by going to insightworld.org/store. Just a moment ago, Chuck offered an invitation to follow Jesus. If you prayed to receive Christ today, or if you're curious to learn more, we'd like to send you Chuck's helpful booklet called How Can I Begin the Christian Life? There's no cost or obligation. Just look for the free booklet when you go online to insight.org/begin. This offer is only valid in the United States. And if you're among those who support Insight for Living, either with your occasional one-time gifts or as a monthly companion, let me say thank you. It's your faithful support that allows us to offer free booklets like the one I just mentioned. And you know, it's your consistent giving that makes it possible for us to broadcast Chuck's teaching every day on your radio station and to make these programs available through our mobile app as well. Today, we are saying thanks for your April donation by providing a brand new concert performed by the Stonebriar Community Church Choir and Orchestra. It's called The Gospel, and the concert includes stunning arrangements of Amazing Grace, Jesus Paid It All, and Worthy is the Lamb That Was Slain. Plus, you'll receive the printed lyrics so you can sing along and join in the praise. We're sending both the CD and DVD so you can either listen in your car or watch the concert at home. This special offer expires 1 week from now, so please get in touch today with your donation and request. Just mention the concert called The Gospel when you call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Be sure to join us Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll resumes his verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Looking Deeper into Our Church, was copyrighted in 2017 and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.